Representing East Coast Watchmen Radio.
Watcher Radio representing Florida. That's where I live. I'm going to get Alan on. And Wolfenstein is MIA. So we stayed to the afternoon for him to get out of his Betty Boo with the Aquaman pajamas. You know, having his Fig Newtons and milk before bed, all that stuff. He still can't get up. So what we're going to do here is patch in Alan. About that. So, stand by. Got a problem here. You there, bro?
What?
You there, bro?
Why, yes.
All right. I'm trying to make a choice to play music and hear that or listen to you. The music won. Just kidding. What's up?
Praise the Lord. How are you?
Ale Broco Coca-Cola. Mocha Choca.
Yes, amen.
All right, so Wolfenstein, MIA, he called me last night, you know, in his Betty Boo. I don't know what he's doing. I can't handle it anymore. I left the room open for him.
Okay.
I mean, he makes one show every quarter of a year. But
how about that?
Let's see if he's in there. Did you text him?
Okay. I texted him.
All right. Well, that's all we can do, bruh, because I'm done.
Okay. All right.
We got to replace him. He's not, you know, Graybeard's gone. You know, he's whatever happened to him. We got this guy up in New York.
He's not a team player.
Yeah, we got to. Everybody's fired, bro. Man. Yeah.
Okay.
The first nut went delusional and delusional doctrines. You know, Jesus wasn't born of a vaginal canal. You know, just people are getting weird, man. The doctrines that I'm hearing, it's almost like I'm in a fantasy land. I mean, and then they complicate the gospel. Hey, let's make the gospel really hard. Let's make it a burden on people. No liberty, no freedom. Let's make them feel like they must perform. Perform! It's so sad.
It is. I remember one person summarized the gospel by love and follow and revere God and love and help people. And that's a big deal of it. But, they complicate it. It's sad.
Yeah, that's the problem. And that's why they got no power, by the way.
Yeah, except for, wearing tzitzit or blowing shofars or making up rules or, sad stuff. Amen.
They got a real problem with those teats, what they hang by their groins.
Seat.
Whatever the hell it is. I mean, some of them are thick, right? So it looks like a penis and they're swinging it around.
Oh, boy.
I mean, are they compensating for something? I'm just curious.
I don't know.
Well, why are they having it there by that penis? Why are they flinging it around like that?
I haven't seen one of those in a while, so I don't know.
Yeah, if you were a homie, you wouldn't have that problem, bro.
Last time I saw those was like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but yeah, I've seen the tassels around the waist.
I saw some of these teetsies, and they're flipping them around like it's by their penises. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get one.
No, don't start.
Yeah, I don't care, bro. I'll wear that to Walmart.
Don't even start down that road. Don't even pretend to start down that road. Just live the Christian life.
It's about time I get to do that. I would like to walk right through Walmart with my giant rope hanging by my grind and just spin around. You know, look at me. You know, just flick it around and it kind of make a radius around me.
So people can take your picture and go, these are the kind of people that go to Walmart and like make you trend on Facebook or Twitter.
Well, how do you know? Like, we can't do deliverance with it.
Because to me, now when those Hebrewites blow their shofars and get stuff, to me, that's like the woman with the issue of blood saying, if I touch but the hem of his clothes, I shall be whole. And so she touched it and the power was released and she acted on it and that's how she got her healing. So I think these people, these shofar blowers, the reason they get results is because they believe they will get results. That's why they get results.
I'm going to post some. I was digging around for some pictures because I got to prove my prophetic words that I've had. And I found some pictures where me and Russ Dizdar, William Lau, I had my manual, the Mass Deliverance Manual, open on the pulpit. And if you want to see what fire of God looks like on camera, I'm going to post it right here. You're going to see it in the video. So if you're watching it on video on Rumble, you will see that picture right now. And you will see the fire emanating from the Mass Deliverance Manual. Why? Because that's the secret sauce, my friend. It's all about renunciation, breaking the curses of the sins of the forefathers. Then the demons are dislodged because you take away their ground. It's 1 John 1:9. Real simple. Now, cleanse you of all unrighteous. Is a demon righteous, Alan? I'm just curious.
A demon is not righteous. They cannot obtain forgiveness. Okay. Amen.
Well, if God cleanses you of something unrighteous, that would be a demon. So,
amen.
Read 1 John 1:9. That's what the Mass Deliverance Manual is rooted in. We offered it free. It's going to be coming out in book form, according to John Ramirez. We're going to be releasing that under his editor, which is Charisma. But I will tell you this. I have the pictures where you will see the fire of God. I want you to see the fire of God emanating. I want you to understand what it looks like in the spirit because I have the pictures. Okay? That's not a reflection. That was just a manual left open, okay, number one. So I'm digging around for old pictures. I found those. And because I have people coming against me as usual, saying my prophecies, the dreams that I had are false, that they're not substantiated in any way. That's what they say, right? Making videos about me. Let me tell you something right now because I know you're listening. Okay, I'm going to post the pictures right here, right now, of screenshots on my Facebook wall of the World Trade Center. Now, before you ever knew me, Alan, you knew a guy named Tom Hewitt, right?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Did Tom, I'm going to ask you, I don't know. Did Tom ever tell you about my World Trade Center dream, yes or no?
Yes.
He did.
Yes.
What did he say?
He basically said that you had spent two or three weeks reading your Bible continuously. And at the end of those two or three weeks, you got a dream of the World Trade Center falling. And it was something to the effect of some angel telling you, those people in that building, they do not know the Father. And you were inside the building and you felt it shaking and you knew that it was going to come down, something like that.
Okay. So that's it. You got a hearsay confirmation, really, because Tom's not here. Tom is firsthand knowledge of that incident. Tom was in the church with me when I stood up in Bread of Life in Wyandanch, New York, and gave my dream. Okay, on Wednesday night, leadership class, it was called Fivefold. Okay, so okay. I had the FBI visit, also my web server guy, Rocky Scarfone, because of that dream. Now, Tom was there. Tom's not here now, but Tom told you of the dream, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we will get Tom on to confirm it as a first-hand witness, because I'm tired of this discrediting what the Lord has given me. I'm tired of it, because I had a video up there on YouTube called Shut Your Non-Prophetic Pie Hole, and YouTube deleted it. And in that video, I used the X split because it was a live stream, and I put up on the screen all the dreams to confirm that the Lord spoke to me and they were confirmed accurate. Now, I'm doing that now in this video because it's going to be on Rumble, but I'm not using XSplit. I'm just going to paste them. You'll see the actual World Trade Center dream as I typed it, all the grammar mistakes and all, back in February 19, 2001. That's when I had the dream. Okay, that came to pass. Not only did I tell Tom and tell the whole church, and the FBI is aware of it. If you want to call them, they'll confirm it with you. Just look at the field office in Melville, New York. Now, here's the deal. Now they're saying I never predicted the elections. I guess that's a bigger one. Now, the World Trade Center was a big one. Okay, but now you say, oh, I didn't say, I didn't predict the elections. Well, guess what? I had dreams in both elections that were accurate. Number one, God gave me several dreams that Trump would win. I was laughed at of prayer meetings. Literally, Alan was at one of the prayer meetings, that house. I was laughed out of that. I had a dream Trump was going to win. This was early 2015. You know, when they said, oh, he was doing it to sell steaks and water that time. Well, guess what? I'm posting that right here, that dream, where not only did I predict that he would win, I also predicted that they would blame Russia. Oh, gee, isn't that a little topping sauce there? Didn't that exactly happen? I'm going to post that in this video right now so you can see it. And I'm not lying. I am giving you the truth. You can look at that on my wall. It's, if you scroll back on my Facebook wall, you will see it. You will see in the picture, if you zoom in, all the people that liked my post. You can go to them and ask them. I saw Gail on there. You could go right to her and say, hey, did you like this post? Do you remember it? Go check it out. Do a little research. I said he would win, that they would blame Russia. That's in this video right now, okay? Number two, this is because they deleted Shut Your Non-Prophetic Pie Hole. It's gone. So I have to fight back. Otherwise, people call me a liar. Now, because you know what it is? People are not used to real prophetic. They're so used to crap out there and vague stuff. Things will get worse. Things are get bad. Okay, you're right. But give me something a little dialed in. How about that? Something a little dialed in so I know it's the Lord. Because you're telling me things would get worse and things are bad. And then I had this one prophetess coming against me saying that Trump would win 2020. She had her feet up on there drinking the wine. Everybody was rejoicing, right? Alan, you saw it.
Yeah, that was like fake. That was peak Facebook Christianity. She was totally wrong and proud of it, and she posted it.
Thousands of people following this person. Thousands. Me? Not so much. You know why? Because I'm telling you the truth. That's why.
You can't handle the truth.
Now, right here, I'm posting, as you hear this, you will see a picture on the Rumble of my 2020 prediction that was on, and it's still there. Just scroll back on my Facebook wall, or you can search my Facebook wall. If you go to my profile and go search, just look at the topic, and you can put a string there, and you'll find it. It's still there. Where I predicted that Trump would appear to win. It says it. I think I called it red out. And then the fake ballots would come in. Right, Alan? You remember this?
Yes.
And then the election would flip in the morning, right? Didn't I say something like that? I don't remember.
But yeah, it was all, you saw the map being red and then it turned purple or something. And so basically they stole it. Trump won, but they stole it. And also you had another dream of Joe Biden and Jill Biden digging up fresh bodies and taking pictures of them. Amen.
That was the dream. Yeah, that was the dream where I knew they were going to steal it, where I saw Joe and Jill Biden digging up corpses, and they had a Polaroid camera, which who uses that these days? And they were using a Polaroid taking pictures of corpses. That's when I knew they were going to steal it. So let's just review it. World Trade Center dream mocked, right? Nobody received it. Reported on Prophet.org. That guy McGillis over there, I don't know if he's still alive, but he's the one that reported me also to the FBI. Did you know that? And people contacted him back then to see if I was lying, and he confirmed it and wrote back to them and said, hey, he did have something that was eerily similar to what took place. So we took the post down and reported it to the FBI. That's what he said on Prophet.org. He removed it. And guess what? My post didn't make the Wayback Machine, unfortunately. But I have a picture of it, which you saw in this video. I posted it. Now, here we go. I posted the Trump winning in 2016. Nobody believed that, right? They said Trump will not win, and then he won. Then in 2020, everybody's saying Trump will win. And I'm saying, no, he will not. And they're coming against me. So you can't win either way when you get accurate words. They're going to come against you. I'm going to post right now as you're looking. And this is kind of interesting. And I was wrong when I said that Hurricane Dorian would turn. My original prophetic utterance I got on that was I said Hurricane Dorian would fizzle out. That's what I said. So right here, I'm posting a picture of the fizzle out prophetic unction I got that night when it was a Cat 5 heading to Mar-a-Lago. And people mocked me on that thread, by the way. They said, you better take it down because it just got upgraded to a Cat 5. Well, guess what the news said? I have a picture of the news article. It says, Hurricane Dorian fizzled out. Okay, gee. Another accurate confirmation of a dream. That's in this video. You could see it. And still on my wall, by the way. Scroll back and look. Now, COVID-19. I had the dream in early March, I believe, that it would be serious. Again, people attacked me. I posted it. Guess what? It was serious. And what was I talking about? Psalms 91. Staying under the blood covenant of Christ for protection. Yeah, it did get serious because it was a bioweapon released by the satanic organizations that are looking to control us. That was one of their boogeymen. So I'll post that also in this Rumble video. And whatever else I could put in here that I'm forgetting. But the key to the dreams and the confirmations of them coming to pass, those are prophetic words, people. The Hurricane Dorian was an unction of the Holy Spirit, where I was just sitting there and I felt it in my spirit. That's different than a dream. Now, I have not been getting really vivid, accurate dreams lately. Okay? So let me just say that. So I am now in a spiritual reboot mode because I know there's an issue. So Alan will tell you, I used to get stocks in dreams. Right, Alan?
I remember that. Yeah, we would meet at your house and we'd have bagels and cream cheese and then we'd pray up a storm. And then that night you'd get stock tip dreams and they were very accurate. And
God gave me stocks. I know there's some of you out there going to go, God wouldn't do that. God rejoices in the prosperity of his servants.
Amen.
So he gave us BYND back then, and we all made tons of money, including Peter. Peter made so much money, he bought bagels one time for us. Isn't that nice? And they were cold.
But,
yeah. He goes, I only made 30 grand, but I can't spend it, so here's some bagels, guys. Thanks a lot, bro. No, we're joking. But, yeah, so God gave me NVIDIA in a dream, and that was the last stock tip I got because I didn't buy it. And that was a mistake because NVIDIA quadrupled since then. But I literally saw it written on a chalkboard in front of me in the dream. So God can give you direction and wisdom for your finances, for your health, for warnings about what's coming. I did have a dream last night that I'll go over. I don't believe all dreams are from the Lord, by the way. So I don't want you to sit here and go, oh, he's one of them. No, I try to filter them and pray for confirmation. The World Trade Center dream was so terrifying, and I felt like I was literally there. I mean, it had the stamp of God on it, in my opinion. There's certain dreams just have a watermark of God where you know it's the Lord. And I will tell you this. I had a dream of Obama being the Antichrist. Everybody mocked me on that. What was I saying then? That he would be a homosexual? Well, guess what? It's coming out now. Where did I get that in Daniel, that he won't regard the woman? Michelle is not a woman. I mean, she's a man. It's Michael. Okay? If you notice all the transgression and iniquity going on with transness and wokeness and the progressiveness started with abomination. Did you know that? If you look up his name, okay, in the book of Matthew, where it says, as fell as lightning, it literally is Barack Obama. Oh, yeah. In the Hebrew. That's right. So, was the Lord giving us a name? I will tell you this. This gay agenda that you're watching with the trans, he's pulling all the strings. You think it's Biden? It's not the brain dead diaper blower. He can't even carry a beach chair. Okay? It's Susan Rice. It's everybody in the shadow government right now. And all these perversions that are spreading worldwide are because they are bowing to Obama. That picture with Obama with the horns is a real picture. I'm talking about when he was in the costume. I got that picture from the fashion designer on Instagram. I got it from her. She posted it. It wasn't a Photoshop. And then when I wrote there on her Instagram, I said, what is this? Why are you po-? She goes, you wouldn't understand. So then she removed it. She had to remove it, right? So the post got deleted. But guess what? I had a copy of it. It spread by wildfire. He was really in that suit, dressing up as a demon with the horns. Now, I will tell you this. Snoop's tried to discredit it. But if you look at the eye and the Snoop's decrediting, where they're saying it's that image, it's not. Look at the position of the left eye in the Snoop's discrediting. You're going to laugh. Zoom in on the eyes where they think they found the picture that is the one that's photoshopped. It's not. Look at the pupils and you will know. It's all in the eyes, my friend. That picture, Snoop's tried to hide it. They failed. Go look at the eye and the position and you will know that the picture they're claiming is the picture that was photoshopped into that demon suit that Obama was caught wearing, and I got it from the girl. I have a copy of that conversation. I took a picture of that. I will get it for you. That fashion designer posted that picture of him dressed up like Satan. That is real. I'm telling you, you could put it in to photo forensics. There's no photoshopping detected on that. Why were they hailing him as Satan? Why, since he came up on the scene, is so much abominable action going on with trans, with wokeness? You haven't noticed it? You haven't noticed what's going on? This is the seed of Satan manifesting. People better wake up, man. People better wake up and understand that fulfillment of Scripture doesn't have to be so in your face. I know many of you are waiting out there and saying, I must have the fulfillment the way I read it, and the way I read it, it must happen this way. It must be so obvious that everybody knows at the same time. No, it does not. We've gone over this. Get that out of your mind, where prophetic fulfillment has to be so obvious. It's subtle. And me and Alan did a show on this, didn't we, Alan?
I can't remember it right now, but I'll take your word for it. How's that?
Yeah, Alan can't remember it. But
Right now.
But it was a show where we literally went over why they were saying that Jesus was not the Messiah. Why do I sound so calm? Because my left ear is bothering me, and if I get too loud, I had a 9mm go off in my face, a handgun, a couple days ago. And it's that Ruger Max 9. You have to use, I don't know why the extractor gripped that Federal HST plus P round, which was really loud. It only went off 3 inches from my face because I was trying to figure out how to open that little lever on there. I don't know why the Max 9 has that little stupid lever you got to push down to try to take the slide off. Well, guess what? It went off. But guess what? The bullet disappeared. Maria can't find it. It didn't go through any wall. The smoke disappeared, and the fire would have definitely burnt my face because I was looking and examining that little window on the side of the Max 9 as a little window you got to push down. Well, guess what? The bullet disappeared. This is why it's so important to pray for, and we do that in our prayer group, by the way. You must pray for sufficient legions of warring angels, ministering angels, and messenger angels, Gabriel type. Why do you want the warring angels? Because warring angels also will battle blocking demons. What do you think Prince of Persia style demon is? Why do you think it's in Scripture? It's trying to show you where the battle is taking. You need the angels to break through these demonic powers. You think everything's automatic. Everybody thinks everything's automatic in Scripture. I know some of you out there. You think everything's automatic. Automatic! No, it's not. Faith must be put into action. When you're declaring and decreeing a word and speaking it, confessing it, and then praising God for the results, even before the results are there, because that's faith. That's your action. When you're praising God at midnight, when you're in a rough situation, that's faith. You're putting faith into action. Now, I had an angel literally grab a bullet, the flame and the smoke disappeared, right? But the sound got my ear, my left ear. But she's been looking for days with spotlights. She took a CSI trajectory. I sent Alan a picture of the trajectory stick we had, like you saw CSI. We had that going on. It's gone. It disappeared. Why did the Lord do it? Because probably I would have been in a bad situation because it was heading for the front window. But doesn't exist. Why? Because God reached into this realm and sucked it out. That's why. You go in early and look at the fire coming from the Mass Deliverance Manual. You saw in the picture. That's the fire of God. You want that fire around you continually. I want you to look at that picture and see what it looks like in the spirit. That you're going to see a little picture of what the fire of God looks like. Now, And why do you want to know what it looks like? Because when you're praying, I want you to imagine that fire being bestowed on you. There is power in the way you're thinking. I know many of you out there don't believe that. You're sounding like a New Ager. No, I'm not. You should be thinking and praying and imagining the breakthrough. Why? Because as a man thinketh, what does it say, Alan?
It says in the Proverbs of Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived except for Jesus Christ, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I want to remind you that Philippians 4:8 says to think about things that are beautiful and wonderful, to think on these things. So if I'm going to spend time thinking about anything, I want to see myself in that place that's been prophesied over me. I want to see myself in that ministry that's been prophesied over me. I want to see myself with that wife that's been prophesied over me, et cetera, et cetera.
You got to project it in your thinking. If you're thinking negative, if you're praying for the fire of God and you're imagining a dud, you're not lining up. You're not, as a man thinketh, so shall he be. Understand that. Look at the fire of God manifesting in that picture early back in this video. That's the fire of God, literally, caught on camera. That's the fire you want around you, around your home, on your body. But if you're thinking the opposite as you're praying, you have, you know, as a stock trader, we have something called convergence. What does convergence mean, Alan?
I'm not a stock trader, but it means two things coming together or lining up like that.
That's right. We have something called convergence. And what's that all about is that when you're going to enter a position, you want confirmation and things to line up, i.e., is the stock moving back to a place of a key area where it has bounced before, right? Or is it moving back to a place where the 200 moving averages, EMA? You know, if you have those two things working together, traders see that as a great convergence, and they fear less about entering in. Their fear wanes because they're like, I have things lining up, and when I have things lining up, I have more of a chance of success. That's convergence. Stocks moving back to a key level of support where it's bounced before. Let's say it's bounced at 1350. Okay, well now it's moving back to 1350. And at 1350, oh gee, the 200 moving average is there, EMA. Gee, I wonder if I should take the trade. Yeah, you should. And everybody is doing it because they see the convergence. If your thoughts are in another world when you're praying, there's no convergence. You should be projecting your faith. You should be speaking it, declaring the word, seeing it, imagining it, thanking God for it. That's right. Call the things that are not as though they are. And the only way you're going to do that is to see it and to believe the contrary, because things in this world are nothing to God. They are nothing to the Lord. He could change. I just had a bullet disappear. As God is my witness, the fire. And then Maria came in my room later. I couldn't hear her too well. She's like, why was there no smoke? Because when we were at the range, every time there was a burst of acrid smoke. Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. It got sucked out of the realm. There was no smoke. There was no flame. And if there was a flame, since I was looking at that window of the side of the MAX 9, which is a terrible design, by the way, the Ruger, that stupid window that you have to press down on it to open it to get the... It's crazy. So I've never had that happen to me before. But it could have been a bad situation. So God delivered me from evil. His angel. If I'm not praying for angels, and you might say, it's automatic. I get it. Everybody wants everything automatic. Listen, when we got to cast demons out, sometimes it's hours. And then another demon comes to the surface. It could take hours. There's work involved. I've been in some deliverances where I'm sweating. I'm sweating. It's not automatic. Healing is not automatic. I've seen so many healings where it was a process. Now, we pray, and the person got a little bit better. We pray the person got a little bit better. A week goes by, we pray again. It might have been a process, but it was work. We were speaking and commanding the healing. That's right. You're seated in the heavenlies with the Lord. You're an ambassador of Christ. Speak to the situation, but think and imagine the breakthrough. And also confess the breakthrough, and then thank God for the breakthrough. So many people are basing everything on feeling. Forget about feeling, man. If you're waiting for feeling to establish your breakthrough, you're on the wrong road. My leg, when I was crippled back in 2018, right, Alan?
I remember that.
I was crippled. I couldn't walk. And I went through this trial for, 8, 9 months? I had a metal brace on my leg. I looked like the Road Warrior, Mel Gibson. That thing on his leg. Yeah, that's what I had. I looked like Steve Austin from WWE. And I couldn't carry anything. I had to get Dan and Alan to carry the PA system up. We had a building at that time, right, Alan?
I remember that, Huntington Station. Amen.
Alan, would you pray, and as you're praying, imagine them not being healed?
No, I wouldn't do that. Actually, a habit, I forget when I formed it, but when I would command healing into people's body parts, I would visualize lightning bolts coming out of me. And Dan, who has a gift of seeing, you know, angels and demons around them at all times, when I was praying for Maria's back, he said he saw angels shooting out of my fingertips into Maria's back as I was commanding healing. So, that's what's going on, and we should always visualize that. And I'm not comparing myself to John G. Lake, but he did have visible bolts of lightning come out of his fingertips and reach across the room to other people. I'm pretty sure that was the guy, John G. Lake. And that's a guy who really developed that ability to visualize with his faith what's going on in the spirit to the point where other people could see it too. And, because only Dan could see angels coming out of my fingertips. I can't see them, but I visualize energy coming out. So, amen. Yeah, we should visualize calling those things that be not as though they were, and even visualizing them per Philippians 4:8, and amen.
There wouldn't be a convergence in your being, if you were, and the devil's going to tempt you, your imagination, by the way. The enemy will throw some things, and the enemy can tap into your imagination. Believe me. That's what the devil does. He throws thoughts into many people's minds in a flash of a moment. He understands how to transmit in the spirit because he came from the throne of God. He was up there with the Lord. He's seen the operation and how it works. You're talking about a being that fell from a high place. So his kingdom is established with some knowledge. He understands dreams. He can throw you a curve on dreams. You shouldn't believe all dreams. I test them. The recent dream I had where I saw cities with tunnels were dug from the city into the suburbs, and people were coming into the tunnel and making it out into the suburbs and robbing people. I believe that's the Lord warning about, and I believe it's already happening, of great upheaval of an escalation of crime. And that can happen in many ways where, we're going to go over a verse in a minute, but we got to start establishing ourselves and also asking for these angels, like I touched on earlier, and I didn't finish it about my leg. I always wanted to feel fire or electrocution. When I pray for people, a lot of times they say, when Alan was praying for Maria, she had burning on her back, on Alan's hand, and that's great. But a lot of times that don't happen. Like with my leg, I did not feel any coolness or electricity. I wanted that, but I didn't get it. So what I did was I had pain instead. That was my healing, pain. That sounds weird, I know. You might feel pain in being healed, like I was. My leg was coming, felt like it was coming off. But I said, I am healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I turned around and I kept walking, even though my leg was snapping and making noises in pain. And then, boom, I was healed. I've never been crippled since. I took the brace, I threw it in the basement over there in Patchogue, New York. I never saw it again. I saw it one time. I went by, the cat was laying on it. It had cat hair all over it. Maria finally threw it out. Isn't that nice? Threw it out. But I had to go through not the tingling or the electrocution or the fire, which I wanted. I got the pain confirmation. So don't think that when you're feeling pain, you're not being healed. Because I was. I was crippled. And God healed me. But it took work. I had to believe the Lord. And he gave me a dream, by the way. I will add to that. But where I was walking and got healed. So what did I do? I put the dream into action. I did what I saw in the dream. But the enemy battled me. You remember I told you the enemy could T-tap your thoughts? Well, I was thinking, as I was being healed in pain, I just vividly in my mind, I was thinking, oh my, I got to turn around now. And I started to turn. I literally was turned around. And then I said to myself, no. I said, am I going to believe the Lord or not? I said to myself, I'm going to go through all the pain. I don't care. If my leg even falls off, I don't care. I'd rather my leg fall off in pain than me not believe the Lord. That's the place I was at. And boom, I was healed. Oh, yeah. True story. Everybody saw me at the meetings over there in Melville or Huntington, sorry. I had the brace on my leg. I was doing the mass deliverance, people coming up to at the end saying, can we pray for you? You look like you're in pain. It was embarrassing. And I want you to know that story because there's so many things we have fabricated in our thought processes that are wrong. We must fight the battle in our mind. Project what you want as you're praying and let them converge. When Alan does that, and he praying for Maria's back, she said she had burning go through her body. Oh, yeah. Now, will you always get that? I just gave you an example of no, you do not. Sometimes you feel nothing. But no matter what, you always thank God for the results, because the prayer of faith will always yield whether you feel it or whether it's happened or not. And that might, you might be like, what? That sounds weird. Well, here's the thing. There's something called incremental healing. You got to wait for incremental healing. God will do it in stages. The Lord says, little by little, lest the beast of the fields confound you, right? I will deliver you little by little, he said. There's a reason there he gave. The process of the deliverance was a learning opportunity for them to learn how to fight. That's what it says. If God does everything at once, sometimes it's not appreciated. We have to learn the battle and the process. John G. Legg, where Alan just so wisely brought up earlier. You look up the healing room over there in Washington, where they had the medical center next door to the healing room he set up. They took x-rays of that girl's chest every time they prayed for the tuberculosis. They commanded and they cursed the tuberculosis, commanded to wither and die in the name of Jesus. And they said, go ahead, go next door to your medical clinic and have them take an x-ray. She went next door, she got the x-ray, it was withering. Was it gone? No. She came back next week. Where did she go? She went to John G. Lake's healing room. What did they do? They cursed it. They commanded the fire of God to roast it. They spoke the blood of Christ into her body, into her lungs, and they rebuked it in the name of Jesus. They said, go ahead, go next door. Go get your x-ray at the medical center. She goes to the medical center. Guess what? It shrunk even more. And this process went on, I think, 30 to 40 times. You can read the account, Google it. Google the account. It's actually documented in medical journals, by the way. Now, why? I know some of you don't like that way of healing. You're like, that's not healing. Because if God's going to do it, he does it, and that's it. You pray the one time, and boom, it's done. And you believe it, and you're healed. That's it. Bye. Well, good thing they kept praying for that woman, because guess what? It was a battle, but they kept on keeping on, and when they kept on keeping on and doing it, it withered away. Oh, yeah. Me and Alan did a show called Because of the Opportunity. You keep on requesting. You keep on going. Program yourself to never quit, to never give up, to keep on rebuking, and to keep on thanking God for the breakthroughs. Jesus had to pray multiple times for somebody's eyes. What makes you more powerful than him? Are you? I don't know. But he had pretty good results. What do you think, Alan?
Yes, the Lord Jesus had excellent results, and he even went into a town and was not able to do many mighty works because of their unbelief. So even he had limits put on him because he operated as a man. He did not operate as God. Lost my train of thought. Back to you, Richard.
I think you were saying that Jesus was just a man.
Well, he was God, but he operated as a man. He did not use his divine prerogatives as God to do those miracles. Lots of times, he would just preach the gospel, and he would tell people, your faith has healed you. He said that lots of times. One time, he said to that man who was lying next to that pool for decades, who whenever he wanted to step down into the pool, when the angel moved the water, somebody steppeth down before him. And then he basically told him, you're healed. It was totally Jesus doing it himself with his own faith. And another time he told that woman with the devil-possessed daughter who worshipped him before asking for her daughter to be healed, he says, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." So we have examples of your faith has healed you, which is just Jesus preaching the word, and they mixed with their own faith with it, and they got their healing. And then there was the example of the man by that pool where the angel stirred the water, where Jesus just healed him, didn't have to bleed nothing. He just got it because Jesus just prayed it on him. Then there's the example of the woman who worshipped Jesus before, and then he said, "Oh, woman, great is thy faith," and then she got it. So, but that he also went into that town where he was not able to do many mighty works because of their unbelief. And then also remember when Jairus's daughter, they wanted Jairus's daughter raised from the dead. So in that case, he went into that room with only Jairus and one of the apostles, but left everyone else out in order to create an atmosphere of faith. He didn't want a bunch of unbelievers looking on and making fun of him and laughing him to scorn. So he left them all out of the room. And then in that atmosphere of faith of just him, Jairus, and one of the apostles, that's when he said Talitha Kumi, and that precious, wonderful daughter was raised from the dead. So he operated. When I say he's God, absolutely he's God, but he operated as a man. He did not zap people or into being healed. He used their own faith by teaching them to use their own faith, except for that one person by the pool. He prayed healing on that one person. Again, operating as a man. He had compassion on the multitudes. That's why the reason the Gospels say Jesus healed people is because he had compassion. It doesn't say because he was God and wanted to prove he was God. It says he had compassion on them. And Jesus would have to do things like stay up all night praying in order to have the faith as a man to heal people the next day. So he was God, but he operated under the prerogatives of a man. That's why Jesus, he said, follow me. And that's why he said, you can do the works that I did and greater works. Because then we're getting into something else because he sent the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah. Thanks for flooding my email box with all types of rebukes.
Oh, okay. Bring the rebukes to me.
Jesus is just a man.
Come unto me.
You know. Right.
Thanks a lot, bro. He's God. He is God. Jesus is God. Amen.
Yeah, you just got me in a whole load of trouble.
Okay, why don't you just edit out this whole part then, if you're really honest?
No, I'm not. I'm really not going to do that.
Edit it out. Erase it.
It's part of your punishment.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the deal, guys. We're going to touch on the fact that Jesus also recommended praying for angels because he was going to do it. He said, "I can pray to the Father for 12 legions." So there's your example, guys. You should be praying for sufficient legions of angels every day. Are you? Are you? Ask yourself, am I praying for sufficient legions of angels every day? Warring angels? Ministering angels? Messenger angels like Gabriel? Are you? If you could take anything away from this message here today, that alone, considering what happened to me the other day, where God sucked a bad situation out of this realm, gone, away, it's away. There's no evidence of it. You can ask Maria. Ask her on, she's still shocked. And this is the problem with so many believers today. They limit God with their confession. And I think that's what Alan was trying to touch on there. Because when they went to his hometown, they knew who he was. And with their confession, they created a roadblock. They said, "Isn't that just Joseph's son?" They began to say, "He's just a man. He can't be Messiah." And by doing that, they created a roadblock for their healings with their pie hole. You got to control your mouth. You should never be saying, God will never take me out of this realm, by the way. I don't know these wackobites preachers today. They train people to do this, where they get everybody saying it and rejoicing, we will stay in the tribulation and die. I mean, it's just a terrible confession. Would you want to say that, Alan?
I would never want to say that. You made a very good point years ago about keep open contracts with God, because end times are a very complicated, you know. I remember one person reading this website on this. He said, there's four other end time scenarios, and they're all wrong. Let me tell you how the end times are. So it's a complicated subject, to say the least. So I'm not going to say anything like, I will die during the tribulation. I'm not going to say, I'm going to die this way. I'm going to die that way. I'm going to starve to death here. I'm not going to say anything like that. I'm just going to say, Lord, I know you love me. I know you want me in heaven. I will worship you and follow you every day. And Lord, I know you want what's best for me. So I leave myself open to follow you. And I know you're going to take me. You're going to take what's best for me and lead me in good directions. I'm not going to bind myself to any bad situations with my mouth. There's a psalm that says, they cause their own tongues to fall upon themselves. And that's old speak for they word curse themselves with their own mouths. David is talking about his enemies. So we never want to be in that situation where we word curse ourselves and our circumstances or our loved ones or our lives or our jobs or anything with our own mouths. We always want to speak blessings over them. And we always want to keep open contracts of blessing instead of binding ourselves with our own words. Amen.
You don't want to limit God with your own pie hole. And that's what happens to them when they went back to Jesus' home village. They said, isn't that just a carpenter's son or Joseph's son? I don't know if it said carpenter, sorry. But they were looking at him as just a man. And he was Messiah. And they just couldn't understand that. And by creating that roadblock, they block the power of God. This is why it's so important to control your pie hole. And that's one of the main things me and Alan try to do on here, on this broadcast. If you notice that. Because I've gotten myself in trouble with my pie hole. Years ago, I had chronic headaches. And I've said this before, this testimony, but I was in woe is me mode. And I was constantly declaring the pain, constantly declaring the headache, constantly speaking about it, and I would never be healed. This went on for 2 years. You can ask Tom Hewitt. He was praying for me every day about this. It was horrifying. And then I would drive everywhere to get prayer for healing. Nothing would happen. I'd drive hundreds of miles. I spent years doing this. Chronic tension headaches. Look it up. Terrible. I had MRIs. They found stuff in my brain. I never went back for that, by the way. And they... all types of problems. They've given me psychotropic drugs. Got worse. Just kidding. Snowballing worse. And I'd lay on the couch, woe is me. And I'd be speaking about the pain. I'd be talking about the pain. And I'd be woe is me-ing everybody about the pain all the time. I was creating a roadblock. And I literally was out preaching in the streets one day. Okay? With Mike Rowell. And we had the Meals for Wheels with Sister Debbie from Love and Mercy in Bayshore. We used to go out there in the West Village, West Side, Hell's Kitchen, I'm sorry. And we would set up all types of food trays, hundreds of people. We had this one guy show up, and he's praying for everybody, and the fire of God was flowing everywhere. And I'm like, wow, who is this guy? He just appeared out of nowhere. And I'm pulling on him. I'm tugging on him. He says, I will not pray for you. I says, why? I kept following him around. I'm following him around. He says, I will not pray for you. I said, why? And I ask him, and he's praying for everybody, and fire of God's flowing everywhere. I'm like, who is this guy? And he looks at me and says, I'm not praying for you. And I said, why? And he said, because you're already healed. And then he walked away. So then I followed him down more. I said, what do you mean? Don't you understand the pain? He looks at me, and out of his pocket, he pulls out a roll of credentials. It was like a comedy show. I've never seen anything like it. He goes, you see this? And he had every denomination, and he was a pastor and some type of leader of every church. He had all these denominations, and then he put them back in his pocket. I said, what's that? He goes, I told you I'm a minister. I said, well, and then he says, you got $2? Like that. So I said, yeah, I got $2. So that's all I had is $2. So he knew it. So I took it out and gave it to him. He walked away again. This was not a homeless guy. He had a fragrance around him of cleanness. And I don't know, who was he? He says he lived on the street. So finally, I ran into him again. I got in front of him. He goes, your problem is your speech. Stop saying that. You are healed, aren't you? I said, yeah, yeah, I'm healed. So, and then he taught me about my confession, this angel. He was an angel. He disappeared. We never saw him again. But when he was walking away, he looked back at me, and I said, will you see me again? He goes, oh, don't say will. You will. Don't question. You will see me. And then he pointed up. He says, you'll see me there. And then he walked away. I went home that night. I was still in pain. And I was thinking, reminiscing on it. This went on for weeks where I was reminiscing on it. What was he talking about? What does he mean I'm healed? What does he mean? And then finally, one day, it clicked in me. I am laying claim to the word of God. I was healed. I know it. I am healed. And then I wouldn't let, and then people always, when people know you have a problem, they always, how's your head? How's your headache? They would say that. I say, first of all, not my headache, and I'm healed. And I would walk away. Because your is making like it's binding to me, like I own it. Well, guess what? Those headaches beginning to get diminished every day. Diminished a little, and one day I woke up, gone. I didn't even remember him again. It was a process of understanding, taught to me by an angel of God. Literally. And people on the bus that when we were going home that night, they all looked at me and goes, who was that guy? It was weird. We've never seen him before. I said, I don't know who he was, but he said, I will see him again, and pointed up there and walked away. God literally had to send an angel to me to tell me to shut my pie hole. That's why I'm telling you this. My pie hole was creating a whirlwind of problems for me. You've heard that story, right, Alan? I know you did.
Yeah, and you even before, when you told it to me, you added the detail that this angel looked like Herman Cain, the 2012 presidential candidate. You said you added that part. But yeah, I've heard this story before. It greatly blessed me to hear that. And yeah, we call ourselves healed before we are healed. We call those things that be not as though they were. We agree with, we rise to what the level of the word of God says, rather than drag the word of God back down to the level of our experience. The word of God says in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we were healed, past tense of God word. Galatians 3:13 says, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, past tense. 2 Peter 1:3, it says, we have received all things that pertain to life and godliness. So that's the past tense of God word, of God's word, of all the blessings prepared for the Christian from Jesus taking our curses from us at the cross and preparing all things for us. Amen. And amen. Done.
That a lot of people don't believe that you can run into angels in the natural. And that's another problem. You got to get that out of your mind. Maria had two angels appear to her in the Philippines. One literally gave her the date that she was leaving the Philippines. And said he smelled almost like flowers. But God will send angels your way. You got to remember that. Don't counter that with your own confession. Start believing it. Start your day by going out and saying, Lord, send me an angel in the natural today. Have you prayed that? Let me run into one of your angels in the natural. I just gave you the account of an actual event. Maria had two, where the guy actually disappeared, by the way, into thin air. I'll get her on to talk about that. We don't make this up. We don't lie. We think God will kill us if we lie. We think liars will burn in hell, actually. Revelation 21, verse 8, I think. But if all liars are burning in the lake, I'm not going to lie to you. Everything I'm telling you are real accounts. I gave you the picture of the fire emanating from the Mass Deliverance Manual. By the way, that night, God moved. Demons were blowing out of people. God did it. Not me, not any of us. God did it. I'm telling you, when you fast, it's so much easier to get the breakthrough. I stated earlier in this broadcast that I have not been getting a lot of accurate words lately. I had the one last night. However, I want to get more in tune with the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you now, fasting and prayer is the only way you're going to do it. I'm sorry. I know a lot of you out there, you want to Big Mac it all the way. It's fine. All the breakthroughs I've been involved in, I was fasting. The guy's tumor on his throat, when I cursed it and it dissolved, I was on a 3-day fast. When me and Maria prayed for that woman, Vicky, it's on Blog Talk Radio if you want to hear it. It's still there in the archives. You can hear it happen. Well, she had double tumors in her breast, cancer. They were going to cut them off. She says, no, I want the MRI. She got the MRI, the tumor's gone. She came to Huntington in the lobby, asked Maria. She was standing there. She goes, I'm Vicky, you prayed for me, and started crying. And said, I have my breasts because you guys prayed. How did we pray? Go listen to how we prayed that day for her. We cursed that tumor in the name of Jesus Christ. We command it to wither and die. We pray the fire of God would fall and dissipate, dissolve and liquefy it, and the demon would go back to the pit from whence it came. That's how we prayed. She got the breakthrough. Were me and Maria on a fast? Yeah, we were. 3-day at that time. Notice the pattern. I prayed for a woman with multiple sclerosis. I was on a sales call. Woman was crippled. I was on a 3-day fast. Guess what? Cursed that multiple sclerosis. She threw her walker and started walking in the kitchen. Oh, yeah. Her name was Donna. Guess what? That demon came back, though, and she was crippled again like a week later. That's a whole nother story. That was very disappointing. It made me very sad, by the way. But that's a bounce back devil. I warn you guys about this. You got a breakthrough. You got to walk it out sometimes. The devil is looking for an opportunity to do a bounce back on you. And will use lack of faith on you. We'll use the medical system. Like when I cursed that tumor in the guy's throat and it disappeared. Sergio was his name. I warned him. I said, don't ever give credit for the doctors ever healing you. Or it'll come back, I told him. I threatened him. And he, oh, no, no. He was real scared. I felt good when I said that, too. Because he was my landlord. But, yeah. And it never came back. It's, you know, I did move out. I don't know what happened to him now. But I was on a fast. The big crusade, when you see that fire emanating from the pictures I told you about on this Rumble broadcast, when you look at the pictures, that fire that you see emanating from the manual, me and Maria were on a 17-day fast. Fasting and praying over that room. We were visualizing the room. With the fire of God in the room. And guess what? The picture confirms it. It happened. That was, Russ Dizdar was there too. God moved. People were all over, scrolled out on the floors. Okay? God moved. When you're fasting, God moves more. I can't explain it. That's why I need to get back into more fasting and prayer, because I can spiritually evaluate where I'm at. And I'm just reflecting on these prophetic dreams I've posted here in this Rumble video. You could see they were pretty accurate. And I'm telling you, lately, I have not been getting, in my opinion, that level. So I'm reevaluating my walk and saying, I need to get back to that place. Fasting and prayer is the only way I know. So, you must fast in prayer. I know you don't want to. If you need a breakthrough, I'm telling you, you got to do it. And I know your flesh doesn't want to do it. But look at the examples I just gave you. Real life examples. Where God moved with more power because we were denying ourselves and saying, Lord, we want more of you. We need more of you. So get into fasting and prayer, guys. I'm in spiritual reboot mode. I will be receiving those type level of dreams. I will be operating in the levels of anointing that I touched on. I'm on spiritual reboot, fasting and prayer, reading, getting up early, praying, asking for angels, asking to run into an angel in the natural. Add those to your prayers, guys. Ask for sufficient legions of angels every day. Ask for ministering angels every day. And ask for messenger angels every day. And then ask the warring angels to break through any Prince of Persia type demon in the spirit that's hindering your breakthrough. What I'm telling you is in Scripture. You might think that's kind of weird. Well, it's in Scripture. Just go look in Daniel. There's warfare in the spirit. You need to participate and get active with it. Also, ask the Lord when you step out. Say, Lord, well, in Maria's case, the angel came to her door. Literally. An old man appeared at her door and knocked on her door. And I was on the phone with her when it was happening. I'm like, who is it? He's like, it's an older man, and he's asking for water. I said, you know what? It's an angel. Must be an angel. She gave him the water. Boom. He says, you have the date that you're leaving the Philippines. And she just had the dream with the date. I said, then that's the date. Well, guess what? She left on that day. She left on that day. Because we were worried. We're like, how come we're not getting confirmation? Well, God sent an angel to knock on her door. Ask her on Facebook, Maria Keltner. Ask her about, she actually has a picture where she drew with crayons of what she saw in the dream. The date, how it was curved, the curvatures, everything. The colors. She has pictures of that. Of the date. You can see the date on it. I mean, the date of the picture. You can see the date of the picture and the date she left as confirmation if you want. I never thought of her doing that. She should do that because she took the picture when she did the drawing, and the date of the picture is on the picture, obviously, because that's what she saw. But the date is time stamped. So you can see that was accurate. She really did leave on that day. But she got it from an angel. But it was from a dream originally. And then we wavered. Because we had the 9 wrong. We thought it was a 6 or something. I can't remember. But the angel came to the door. Now, you have to ask God for angels. Messenger angels. All right. We went way over. I didn't even do the message I had to do today.
Well, You did do the message you had to do today. We did the message we did, and not the one you wanted to do, Richard.
Yeah, but I want to do mine.
Maybe next time.
I have all these scriptures here I printed out that I'm supposed to do.
There's lots of preachers who have their own plans. They say, I'm going to do this.
You're
this,
coming
this,
against
this,
my
this.
Plan. My plan.
Right, but God.
What I want.
I know normally you get what you want, but this time the Lord allowed us to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I know. Praise God. So I just closed my folder because I did have another message. We never got into it. But I'll touch on that next week because we went into some accounts, and somebody somewhere out there is going to hear this and encourage you. We want you encouraged. Get into our Telegram group. Join our prayer with communion. It's free. Also, join Rumble. I am stifled on Facebook. You know what's interesting? I went back, since people are mocking my prophetic words, I had to go back on my Facebook wall to get them when I posted it. And I'm looking at my posts from years ago, and I'm like, 50, 60 people used to like my post within an hour. And I'm saying to myself, now I post, people never see my post. I might get one or two like my post because I'm under a throttle shadow ban. A throttle shadow. I'm trickled through news feeds. Back then, obviously, I was getting out to my news feeds. I got, what, 4,000 people, 4,000 followers? I get one like? That's impossible. I even post a picture of a cute cat or something, and it never makes it out. I get one like. That's how I know I'm being shadow banned. Because if it was something I was said, I would agree with. Well, maybe they didn't like it. Well, I'm posting a cute picture, and it's not making it. So there's your test. I'm being shadow banned. I'm on a trickle shadow ban, throttle. And I'm on Twitter. If you go to shadowban.com and put your Twitter name in, it'll tell you. My name is Ghostban. I am Ghostban on there. If you look at Skywigger, that's my name. Well, guess what? I am a Ghostban on there. Alan is not. I checked Alan. He's a good little boy.
Wait, I thought you, me, and the Watchmen Radio account were all ghost banned.
Oh, yeah,
check
you want to be the member of the Bad Boy Club, huh?
I am a member of the Bad
no,
Boy Club.
No, you're not. You're not, bro.
You mean they kicked me out?
Yeah, you're out. You're not in the Bad Boy Club, bro.
I might need to be more
you
offensive.
Think you're too
Thank
cool
you
for school. But I got a news flash for you, Walter Cronkite.
What is it? You do this to me every week. You can't possibly have anything else to
you
say.
You aren't. think you're too cool for school.
Again?
But I got a news flash for you, Walter Cronkite.
Hold on. What?
You aren't.
You aren't, bro.
Okay, I mean, let me ask you this. Is the Watchmen Radio account
in your bio on Twitter?
No.
That should be in your bio. I am not too cool for school. Right there.
Okay. I will consider changing my personal bio. But is the Watchmen Radio account Shadow Band? Yes or no?
No, it is not.
That's good. Good.
You guys made it out, not me. You check me. You go to.
You are continually on fire. Good for you, Richard. Keep it up.
Well, what I'm trying to tell people, I'm Shadow Band. On Twitter, I went back into my history and I looked at my old posts. And I'm like, did I really get this unpopular? Do this many people hate me now? And it's no, they have not. It's just, they're not seeing it. I had somebody messaging me. They're like, how come you don't post on Facebook anymore? And they're on my friends list. I'm like, I do. You go to shadowban.yuzurisa.com, whatever that spells. Usurisia. So shadowban.yuzurisa.com. You put my name in there, Skywigger, you'll see I'm Ghostband. You put your name in, check it out. I'm Ghostband. You look at Ronnie Radke, he's banned across the board. Why? Because he said something about trans, that they shouldn't be in women's bathrooms. And boom, he's gone. So Twitter is tyrannical. Forget about Twitter's gone. So Rumble is really the only hope. Now I opened an account on Reddit. So we're going to be posting stuff on Reddit. But Facebook is gone. My posts aren't getting out there. I even paid them $300. And people didn't even see my ad. They say, we're not even seeing your ad to join Rumble. I said, how could that be? I just paid $300 for all these ads. Nobody's seeing it? So even if you pay them, they're not going to let you out of captivity of the trickle shadow ban throttle. And that's what I'm on. I couldn't believe how many people used to like my posts years ago. I'm like, wow, I was popular one time. No, we're still... People still like what you put. It's just they're not seeing it. Look at me on Twitter, Ghostband. Nobody sees what I write. How did I get in this category? I wonder. Probably because the Lord speaks to me and tells me what's going on. And I post it. The past two elections, I called them both. You saw it in this video. The Lord exposes their plans to his servants. And I'm going to get back in that level of anointing by fasting and prayer. Right, Alan? You too.
Yeah. Amen. Virtually every breakthrough I've ever gotten has been with fasting. So I'm really glad that it was on my heart to go start a fast yesterday. And all of a sudden you call me and you're like, I'm fasting. You should too. I was like, yeah. I was going to, and I'm glad confirmation. You said confirmation. Amen. Praise God. We're doing it.
Yeah, and our prayer group was real excited. The only person that liked my call to fast was me. It was horrible. I put a little fire emoji on it.
And I do the fire. Those are from me.
Did you? But it was crickets. It was crickets. Let me tell the people in our prayer group, you should be fasting. You want breakthroughs. Get on the program of God, man. He's not. Well, I just gave you breakthroughs that I got while I was fasting and when Maria was fasting. We got to get back in that. When I started watching radio years ago, we used to fast three times a week. We had all types of breakthroughs going on. And it's fasting and prayer. Believing the Lord, shutting down the voice of the enemy, not believing foolish preachers that are projecting twisted texts on you. You got to get away from that. don't ever declare something. Leave it to the Lord. The Lord can take you from one position to another. I think he did it with Philip. Or was it Stephen? No. Andrew. Who was translated to one area to another, Alan?
Maybe it was Philip who
ministered. We look like we don't know the word now. Damn.
No, sorry, the Ethiopian eunuch.
You're supposed to act like you know the word, bro.
I don't want to lie. I don't know the word that well. Sorry.
Was it in the book of Acts?
Yes. I think so.
I'm using Google to make myself look smart.
Okay.
That's literally what Alan does.
I don't always do that, but sometimes I do that.
Okay, I can't even find it. I thought it was Philip. I can't remember, but there's an account where he was translated from one area to another. Okay? If God can take you from this realm and move you, that he can do that. I just had a bullet disappear from this realm around me. It just disappeared. Stop limiting yourself. Stop declaring that your head's going to be cut off, that you're staying for the entire tribulation, that you're going to burn in fire and die and all this. Stop listening to these nutbags that don't know the word, like we don't even know the word because we don't remember the text. But I will tell you this. I'm smart enough to know that we cannot limit the Lord with our declarations. Keep an open contract with the Lord. Lord, have it your way. Amen?
Amen.
So, with that being said, we are going to burn rubber out of here. Went way overboard here again. And I hope this encourages somebody. Alan, did you got a summary? You want to close it out?
Sure. Let me see if my son. Okay. Richard has been graced to give accurate and specific prophecies about 9/11, Trump winning 2016, Biden stealing 2020, and COVID. And the photo of Obama in the demonic costume with horns is authentic. No photoshopping detected. Richard earlier this week did accidentally fire a bullet close to his face. And instead of seeing the smoke cloud, and instead of that bullet hitting some wall and causing lots of damage or going through a window and, God forbid, hitting a neighbor, the Lord Jesus did rapture it out. So there was no smoke and there was no bullet hole in any of his walls. And I don't think the neighbors even heard it. I think you said that earlier. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And Philippians 4:8 show us we should be visualizing success and God having answered our prayers. Because we are calling those things that be not as though they are. Because we are children of Abraham, and that's what we do. And we should have great expectation of having already received lawful requests like healing, like all things that pertain to life and godliness, and being redeemed from the curse of the law because of 1 Peter 2:24, 2 Peter 1:3, and Galatians 3:13. And Richard... And not all dreams are from God. Test the dreams according to the word and even according to reality. Richard got a dream of being healed and he acted on it, just like we're supposed to act on God's word. And he got his healing. Praise God forever. And make it a part of your day to pray for sufficient legions of warring or ministering or messenger angels every day so that angels are a regular part of your Christian life. Delivering messages, protecting you, delivering you, helping you. It's a miraculous life that is open to you, and you open yourself to that possibility by saying, Father, in Jesus' name, send angels to help me in all kinds of ways. And God will do it because God loves you and is for your success. God is for you and wants you to be successful. So you have to control your mouth to speak blessings on yourselves and your loved ones. You cannot be in woe is me mode. like Richard was with that headache before he got smart, thanks to that angel that looked like Herman Cain and got healed. You can't agree with your pain or your disease or your circumstances or your failures. You must speak success. You must bind devils in Jesus' name. You must worship Jesus. You must call yourself successful. You must visualize yourself successful. You have to resist evil. You have to resist evil in your life. Because devils have no right to your body or your business or your family or your life or your health or your anything. Bind devils and throw them out. Throw them out in Jesus' name. And you, if you persist in that and worship God, you will have success. And fasting, lastly, fasting, refraining from food, you know, food or water or, you know, fasting from eating. Fasting speeds your breakthrough. So if you haven't had a breakthrough in a while, if you haven't heard from God in a while, if you've been stuck on a prayer request for months and months and months, and you haven't engaged in fasting yet, fasting, God honors sacrifice. God rewards fasting. Make sure you start fasting again. Yeah, you know what? Your stomach may cry out with a thousand voices. That you should not be fasting, but you will not die if you fast. Okay. I've been graced at times to fast on water only for 40 days and it will not kill you if you are in good health. So this is not medical advice, but start, you know, fasting is like, working out. At first it's really hard, but then it gets easier the more you do it. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Thank you, Brother Allen. And while you were speaking, I did use 98% of your brain.
How'd you do that?
Which is Google. And it was Philip. It was in Acts 8, I think verse 39, the account where he was transferred. If God could transfer you from one realm to another, that means God can transfer you from one realm to another. Does that make sense? So
God, if God did it to Philip, God can do it for us. If angels appeared in the Bible, angels will appear for us. If God healed in the Bible, God will heal us. If God brought a godly spouse to Abraham for his son, God will do it for us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's like when Jacob wrestled the angel. God can do it for Alan. I always pray that God would send an angel to wrestle him. It hasn't happened yet.
How come you didn't wrestle that Herman Cain angel when he said he wouldn't pray for him? Wrestled him right there.
Well, Maria did grab the one angel by the shirt, and it ripped. And then he turned around, and I forgot what he said. But then he disappeared. A bus went by, and he vanished. Listen, you need to start declaring it. Lord, thank you for your angels. I will run into one of your messages here. It says in your word that we entertain angels and know not. So, understand they smell, if they look like a homeless person and they smell really good and they're kind of giving you spiritual things, it's probably an angel. Let me give you that little caveat there, okay? All right. With that being said, I am going to leave. So I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Brother Allen. And we do not thank you, Wolfenstein. So good night. Watch your radio saying farewell. Allen, God bless you all.
Thanks for having me, Richard. God bless you all.